Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
Yeah! What's happening? How's everyone doing today? So is me and Miriam, who's been in the background for so long. I'm sure some of you listeners may have heard her voice before. Yeah, she's been holding up the fort, giggling at my jokes. Aha! We have Richard. Yep, Richard, what's your last name? DiCursio. I almost said. Are you Italian?
Of course.
All right. You don't have to talk so soft like that.
Well,
be yourself.
Very soft.
I had that problem in the beginning. Hold on. I had that problem in the beginning. Freaking podcast talk. Me trying to figure out where my voice was. And man, on the, I talked to you about it. Remember the Rick Marrero interview? Hello. I mean, what's up with? I don't understand why
it's
I go through
it. It's hard not to have your regular voice on the radio, I think.
Well, I have my regular voice.
That's not your regular voice.
Well, you're about what, 6 glasses of wine into it?
More.
I think
bottles.
Yeah.
One should never be 6 glasses. One should be more.
Yeah. So you had a couple while you've been working the wine table today.
Yep.
Well, wine's very important.
It is. It's good stuff.
It's actually better for you than water.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Jesus.
Never drink water. Once you drink wine.
Jesus turned the water into wine, didn't he? Something
that's
like that?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Amazing.
And I'm actually a godly person.
Yeah. So Richard's had a couple. But yeah, I'm going to start the podcast off today and talk a little bit about some of the growing pains I've been going through and just kind of, and Richard, just so you know what the podcast is, it's mainly a bunch of stuff. Sometimes I talk about film, sometimes I talk about life, sometimes I talk about my son Justin, and sometimes we will talk about wine.
May I talk about wine?
At some point, maybe, but let me, yeah. But what's really important is the what I've been doing is trying to get this thing up. I mean, it's been frustrating. Just trying to figure out these audio and levels and getting it posted in a timely fashion. It's been a pain. Believe that. I got a mixer, though, today.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
I got a 12-channel Mackie professional mixer. I was going to bring it, but I opened it up, and basically, I mean, I might as well have been in the space shuttle. I mean, it was insane. It was like so many buttons, and I played with it for a little while. I hooked the computer up to it. I could run the computer, the audio, some of it, but some of it was hit or miss. So I didn't want to just bring it all in and
try it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that too. Yeah. I mean, it'll work out better when everyone is mic'd up on their own channel and has their own headset. Unfortunately, the mixers only come with like one input for headphones.
What?
Yeah. So you got
to,
well, no, you have to get what's called a headphone, headphone amplifier or something like that. It's a separate amp that you plug in and has multiple inputs. It's a pain. It's like one piece of equipment after the other. So, and I was on the phone with my host, and who hosts the website, and to run a podcast, you have to have like a host and you have to have a blog page and all this stuff. So I was on the phone with them for like an hour trying to figure, not even an hour. I was on the phone for an hour just trying to get through. Right? Maybe 3 people that got on the phone with me, the customer service reps, basically said, you're on your own. I was like, basically, I'm on my own, right? I'm on my own. He was like, nothing we can do. These are third party, blah, 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 blah. I get it. You know, I wasn't like born in, you know, I wasn't born on Planet Nerd, but it's, yeah, it's amazing how much you don't know. The beauty of it is you have YouTube and Google that you can Google things. You know, you don't have to go, like, to the library and get an encyclopedia. Remember those days, Richard?
Well, I do, and the fact that
Jesus, he was waiting.
Once I passed 60, I realized that you go to YouTube, and you realize you even know less than what you knew.
But not you porn.
I never did that.
Never did that, huh? I don't believe you, man.
I'm too old for that.
Jesus.
He's a yogi. He's not too old for that.
I do. practice yoga for 2 hours a day. That does not work.
So anyway, I was talking to a customer service rep. A few of them just brushed me off. Can't help. Can't help. You can't help me. I'm the only one in the world that's going through this problem. So of course they sent me a survey, and I gave them really low scores. And so some manager guy called me from Arizona. You know, they wanted to follow. Yeah, of course, which is cool. You know, it's more my frustration because you go through, you always, whenever you're building something, you're trying to build something, you go through a period where you go through growing pains. And it's better that you learn the hard way a lot of times because it's sinks in, at least I think. So, you know, it's been a bunch of that. And I'd like to thank the listeners and everyone for sticking with me at the podcast and giving back feedback. That's been helpful. But everyone's listening, so it's starting to catch on and snowball, and we'll see what happens. So we got Miriam up in here, all nervous like a high school girl going out on prom with a redhead named Fitzgerald. Jesus Christ.
You're
look at it.
You're showing out with an older guy named Richard.
Yeah.
Yes, you wish, Richard.
And I do.
Yeah, the men like her. The men, what? The women like her too, though.
Yeah. I've gotten massages on the job.
Yeah, the women seem to be attracted to her too at the wine shop.
That's all about wine.
No, maybe it is the wine, and then wine makes them more comfortable, and then they start massaging me. Yeah.
A lot of the gentlemen are quite fond, though.
They
quite
dance for them a lot of the time.
Where?
We actually, on the table.
We actually asked you to do that this evening.
Did you? Oh, you did ask me to dance this evening.
I don't think you can do that because I think that you have to.
Well, she said her ankle is hurting.
Oh.
So
must be the stilettos. Yeah, you might want to get some stilettos. You might sell more wine.
No,
yeah.
Victor will sell more wine. What am I getting out of it?
Victor wears stilettos?
Get, I don't get nothing.
Victor doesn't wear stilettos.
No, he wears.
Well, nobody knows what he wears.
He wears loafers.
Yeah, the brown suede ones.
And for those of you guys listening.
These are a little different.
And for you guys that was listening, that's Victor Mendez, who owns this wine shop we're broadcasting out of tonight, the Vienna Vintner. And so we're just busting his chops while he's not here. But we will have him on the program soon.
Yeah, I talked to him today. He wants to do it.
Yeah, he should. He'll be a handful.
What does that mean?
He's going to do a show.
Really?
Yeah. I did.
Anything.
I told you, we're going to talk about this or that, whatever comes to mind. I did one recently with a guy named Rick Marrero. He owns an Italian restaurant called Desiderio down in Gainesville. I got a couple hits today from people raving about it and said they're going to go to the restaurant.
He's great.
Yeah. We didn't talk much about food, though.
No.
We didn't talk about the... Hey, just leave the mic alone. You don't have to touch the mic. Don't even touch the mic. All right? It's good. You'll be all right.
Well, cut it off.
No, she's fine. She's fine. She's why I came here today.
Yeah,
no problemo.
Richard, get out of here.
Richard's drinking a very full glass of what are you sipping on? What is this? What's the name of this one?
$130 bottle of wine.
Ugh.
Cab.
Dr. Steve.
No, not doctor. It's Dr. Sorry. See, for the uninitiated, it's called doctor, but for the initiated like myself, it's called Dr.
Well, it's clearly Dr. because it's a D in a period, an R in a period. Someone.
No, it's not a doctor.
No. Mm-hmm.
Makes a spectacular Chardonnay.
Oh, I'm sure.
Very limited production.
We got the Chardonnay here?
No.
No.
It's a nice bottle of wine.
Yeah, we're drinking the cab because we drank the Chardonnay.
How long did you open this up before I got here?
About 30 minutes.
That's nothing. It tastes really good.
Yeah.
Very juicy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well
juicy.
Did you make it?
I wish I did make
you
it.
You just picked it out.
I picked it out. I do know Dr. Stevens wines.
And he does both. What is this? Howell Mountain or just Napa? Napa?
No, Napa. Yep. And
Moose
these are,
Valley.
Ah, Moose.
Yeah. It's like Bullwinkle Moose.
Bullwinkle.
Yeah, Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah, well.
Watch Bullwinkle with Rocky every morning.
Wow.
When I drink my coffee spiked with scotch. Very important, by the way.
You probably shouldn't be spiking your coffee.
You should, because coffee is not that good, but when you spike with scotch, it's fantastic.
My God.
I prefer Bailey's in my coffee, but that's
not at 8 o'clock, it's scotch.
Oof.
It's probably good.
No, it's not straight coffee is good at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's cool.
No,
that's fine
sure.
by me.
Yeah.
Last thing I need is liquor in the morning to start my day. That usually starts a whole lot of problems later on in life.
Not for me, because I don't like liquor in the morning. I like scotch and my coffee. So
yeah.
That's not liquor in the morning. It's
scotch, bad. Liquor, alcohol. How's that?
Well, alcohol, I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes, I don't.
I don't know what to say to
it's
that.
A wonderful thing. I mean, it just perks you up, makes you feel like a human.
Yeah.
Oh.
You may wear a dress, you may not.
Have you?
Well, we drink scotch. You want to put a kilt on, but I haven't done. Well, it's a kilt.
Kilts would be a unique fashion. Never really caught on here. I see.
Correct, but you know what? I'll tell you what. You know, you got a bottle of
scotch
in your hand. You got a kilt outside. You know what? A lot of guys will be attracted to you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
everyone's goal.
I don't think so.
Not my goal, but maybe your goal. But
give Miriam the scotch. Maybe she'll break out those stilettos and dance on the table. I think she might surprise you.
Dance. What are you talking about?
She comes.
African blood and I'm like born with rhythm.
Well, that's good about the blood, but it's you don't have rhythm.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
I have rhythm.
Let's see you dance. Let's.
I do. I can dance really well, except my right toe hurts.
That'll happen every time. Wow. So amazing. So that's in a nutshell what goes on here at the wine shop.
Oh my God, that's what happens here at the wine shop?
Apparently. So lots of fun stuff, lots of dancing and kilts and scotch in the morning. And these are the employees. I mean, I don't know if your boss is going to listen to this. Of course, Victor hired you, so I mean.
He knew what he was getting into.
On my recommendation.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus, it never ends. Never ends. It's just ongoing. So, yeah, I think I've known. How long have I known you now, Miriam? Give the listeners a little.
05? Wow. 06 maybe?
A little time.
Yeah.
Took her under my wing. She was a very shy young child when I met her. Very, very, very innocent to the world. Don't believe
me. You saw me as innocent. I wasn't that innocent.
I did, and I tried to take advantage of it. I played my hand. Yes.
I started the wine business and then I met you. Yeah. Pretty much the same time.
And you tried to get out a few times, huh?
Just like you.
Yeah. It's like the mob.
It's really, really hard to get out.
I've told people time and time again, it's like the mob. You try to get out, but you can't.
Yeah. They keep throwing opportunities at you, which is just really hard to say no.
There's a lot of perks, too. There's a lot of fun things. You meet a lot of cool people.
Yeah.
In my journeys, I've traveled the world. You know, there's been many a times where I've sat back, been on an airplane destined for France or Italy, and just sat back and thought, man, I'm just like a kid from Flint, Michigan. You know what I mean? Never thought I'd be traveling the world, seeing all these great places, eating these meals.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a ride.
Yeah, the wine is good. The food is good. You got to be a foodie to enjoy this kind of lifestyle. But, yeah, you get to travel quite a bit. Not everybody in the business, but a lot of people are.
Yeah, but you've been around.
That's
you go to Africa. Well, yeah.
Oh, my God. What does that mean? You've been around, but not because of the wine.
No.
I've been around
what does that
the world, Richard.
She's open for business.
Oh, my goodness. No. Right. Okay, no. I've been around the world.
Oh, my God. I've heard that before.
Where have you been? Where have your travels taken
you?
Well, family-wise, I've been to Morocco and Finland because of my family.
Finnish. When your travels.
I've gone to visiting family, gone to weddings and stuff. I mean, that's what I do when I'm there. Eat good food.
Yeah.
Enjoy, my family's company.
How many languages do you speak now?
Five.
Five, and name them.
English, French, Spanish, Arabic, and Finnish.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
It's family mostly, though. It's luck of the draw.
I speak.
Born into it.
Barely speak English, yeah. And gibberish, mumbo jumbo.
I
try. I can't.
Well, when the wine
People always come up to me and they think I'm Spanish and they speak.
Well, see, I see you as Moroccan. You have that coloring. It's very hard to.
Today I was outside and this gentleman came up to me and I was like, "Can I help you?" Just kept walking with this silly smile on his face. Kept walking with his hands in his pocket. "Can I help you? Dude, can I help you?" Yeah. And he started getting really close and he wanted to know if I was Spanish and, well, yeah, all this stuff. So it was just like, no, I don't, no capiche.
That's not Spanish.
Oh. So, yeah, I get that a lot. Can't speak anything. Tried to learn Italian. I understand phrases and stuff like that because a lot of my friends are Italian or French or whatever.
Yeah,
but yeah, I can get by with the European. With the European man. You know what I mean?
One language, the European.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've never really been to Africa. I want to go to Africa, but, you know, when I've been to France or been to Hungary and places like that, I seem to get along well with Europeans, more so than Americans, go figure. But anyway.
I
I want to go. The motherland, Mother Africa, you know, where it all began.
That's where it all began.
So they say. Could it begin?
Say, that's where it all began.
Yeah, that's what
we're
they say.
We are all African.
Whether we like it or not.
Why? Well, no.
Red, black, and green.
We should all like it because that's where we're all from.
It was one continent. It was
Well, at one point it was one continent,
yes. Yeah. Amazing, huh?
Wait.
That's great. It's wonderful.
Wait, what are you talking about? What was
Why don't you just keep that mic closer to you, huh? How did it turn like that? Huh? Look at
Richard.
Her.
It's a wonderful.
No.
Keeps turning it towards him.
Richard's amazed by this whole podcasting, microphone, computer setup. But
yes.
I got to say, I'm really, really happy about the mixer I got today. I mean, it's pretty nice.
I can't wait for him to use it.
Yeah. Like I said, I was on the fly today just playing around with it. And it's a, it's going to, I think it'd, you know, give me a lot more options, more control. And definitely be able to bring in, you know, music and stuff like that. But I definitely need to get someone to kind of man it while we're doing the podcast at some point. I have to teach myself and be able to do it on the fly. I mean, but at the same time, it takes, you know, two people to run the podcast, one engineer / producer and then the host, and then you have the guests. So that's the balance I'm trying to find. Yeah, it's challenging. I think I've come up with an idea. Like a lot of the podcasters I know, like Corolla, he has a following of people on Corolla Digital, and Joe Rogan, he has the Death Squad, and him and Joey Diaz, and Jay Moore, big fan of his as well. He has what's called the Warriors, like Warriors, you know. That's, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I was trying to figure out, like, what should I come up with? Huh? Should I make a contest out of it?
You texted me the other day, you were like, not the Maverick, you could have Mavericks.
No.
Have, like,
no, that was a joke. That's not something you want to put online right now. Jesus. I said I was a Maverick. And that was in reference, just so you guys know, since Miriam put that out there. It was in reference to, I think it was in a job offer or something like that, and I was like, yeah, I was like I'm a bit of a maverick, you know. I couldn't think of the word. Yeah,
rogue.
At first I said rogue, and I was like well, that's a little bit too harsh. And then I was like, I'm like, I couldn't think, of course, because like I said, I don't speak English. I was fumbling for words, searching all over. So I said, I'm like John McCain. That's the only thing I could think of. John McCain. I'm like John McCain. Well,
insane McCain.
Well, no, I was just saying. What was John? He was known as the Maverick, you know, at one time. So that's why. Well, regardless, without one of the things I don't really care about talking about politics, you know, is what it is. But that was the reference, and that's why I said Maverick. But no, I think I'm gonna do a syndicate. I wanna make a family and include everyone in it, yourself included. You too, Richard.
Is he part of the family?
How long have I known you, Richard?
Oh, jeez.
You talking about your shop?
Yeah.
Oh, for a decade. Yeah, a long
yeah.
time.
More than a decade. I think, maybe more
you
than a decade.
You actually know me when I was in my diapers.
No, you knew my son when he was in his diaper, so that was 11 years ago.
We were all playing together at our diapers.
So, yeah, well.
It was
Anyway. It's just strange.
Now we've become all one guy.
But, yeah, I'm thinking I'm toying around with some ideas right now and just building some interactive role-playing on online with it, because it seems to be taking off and snowballing.
What does that mean, building interactive role-playing?
Well, with like I said, with the Moriers and the Death Squad, I think every podcast has, and you don't know much about podcasting, so that's why you have that blank look on your face.
Right.
Yeah, so be careful. Citizen. Yeah, be careful with, yeah. Yeah, be careful with what you ask, because some of this stuff is probably going to, you know, go over your head. But that's about it. You know, I don't want to go get too far into it with you about this, because you're not going to. You will, yeah. If you're asked. If
you, yeah, my head's not very high. So
well, I beg to differ. I think you're pretty high right now.
Yeah. There's a truth there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right. He's had a couple. He's had a couple, and like I said, I wanted to just come in here and just kind of riff with you and talk and
you're
see.
Shooting the shit.
Yeah, just shooting the shit, drinking some very expensive wine on.
And who picked that wine?
Well, who bought the wine, Victor?
Victor. Who picked the wine?
Yeah, well, Richard did. Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
But who paid?
Paying's not fit to roll.
Well, it's kind of
broken. Just ask the owner of the wine shop.
Right.
See what
exactly.
He says.
The owner
It is. Let's see what else he has. I think he has some nice stuff. While we're at it, let's see what else he has.
Someone
Jeez.
Needs to keep things settled around here.
That's right. I hate to see you get fired after the podcast airs.
Yeah, right?
Gosh.
That'll not be fun.
I don't even think Victor listens to this. Does he listen?
He's going to start.
Oh, he's
going to
start.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just use this.
On it, then he'll start listening, probably.
We've been promoting his business.
I know.
In his space.
Right.
He hasn't generated any sales, but, you know.
No.
That's the Victor's a bottom line guy. He wants to generate sales, so
he'll be all right.
Yeah, he'll live.
I think Malcolm, this is so exciting. You know, maybe we should have a weekly event of wine tastings.
I thought you do have weekly wine tastings here.
On air.
Not for me, but
wouldn't that be kind of cool?
No.
To have?
Not too
no.
much.
No.
No.
You wouldn't like that?
I wouldn't. No. Because I mean, it's I'm. I think there are wine podcasts out there, and
we could have a cool local wine.
Yeah, it would be fun. It would be fun. Maybe we'll do a featured one, but these get a little technical, and you know, at some point with wine tastings, people kind of drink a little bit too much, and they get loud and obnoxious. They get loose-lipped. Things get broken.
Yep.
You know, there's all. Yeah, there's always something that goes on. I mean, what happened today? Anything exciting happened today in the wine shop? There was, you know, could you imagine if it was being recorded? And then some people, if you have these wine tastings, they see equipment, they're going to clam up, you know.
No, this would be an after-hours kind of thing where we taste like 6-7 bottles.
Yeah.
And have a
panel, a discussion on the wines,
yeah.
Huh? I could see that, but, no, you know.
Maybe
I can help produce it, and Victor and you guys can do it on your own.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come in.
Yeah.
You ready?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my rental rates aren't that much, you know. I'm not a cheap date, but, yeah, we could probably take care of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pizza and a couple of...
Pizza?
Well, I drink...
You said it was cheap date.
No, I said I'm not a cheap date.
Well, I'll up it up. The pizza and a...
More money than I do too.
Well, you know,
you're the one who picked the 130. I picked the, you know, 60.
Well, no, I'm gonna sit here. I didn't pick anything.
Oh, yeah, it's good wine though. It's a nice bottle of wine.
Yeah,
I gotta say.
It's, you know, I'm not jumping up and down. I'm not taking my clothes off.
Thank God.
Yes. Thank God is right.
That makes three of us.
I wouldn't take my clothes off either. It's. What do you think of the wine?
I love it. I've said it three times. I love it. I'm not going to get into the... That's one of the things that always annoyed me about the wine business. Some of the descriptions and stuff like... You know, I like the wine. You know, back when I was in the wine business, I never really got into too great details. Juicy, I know that much. It's got a good taste. It's not acidic or tannic on the finish. That's why I asked, like, how long had it been open? Because, I mean, it's...
Open.
Yeah, it's... What's the vintage on it?
07,
yeah, it's
right.
$130.
So it's 07, and it's had a good amount of time. Well, it has, for a cab, I mean, that still could be young, but it's still young. Yeah, it's still a baby, but it tastes like it's right where it should be. It's a dynamite bottle of wine. You could age it, you could lay it down, and it's probably going to keep on improving. Oh, yeah. So if it tastes like...
You could age it, you could lay it down, and there's another thing you could do with it.
What's that?
Drink it.
Yep. And that's important.
It's very important.
But I don't get into, like, the details of, you know, where it came from, the altitude, and I used to always... And you'd always get one guy. I remember back in the day. Yeah. You would... That's her French coming out. Yeah. Brr. Yeah. The over and under of every wine, what it's made out of. I mean, that's important if you're the winemaker. I dig it. You know what I mean? I get it. But not my style. Never was my style. You know, if it tastes good, if it's ready to drink, if it should be aged, if it shouldn't be open, vintage is key. When it comes, especially with Cabernet, how many times do you guys hear, you know, this cab is sharp or it has too much bite?
Raw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Raw? That's what she says?
I heard raw.
Raw? Mm-hmm. Really? Did they say it like that?
I've heard it.
Really?
Is that raw?
No, you hear all sorts of stuff. What about Chardonnay? I want butter. No butter. What are you talking about?
I want butter in a bottle.
Yeah.
Ew. Okay.
I'm going to jam a stick of butter down there for you, lady. Here's some butter for you.
I love oak.
Yeah.
Barrel.
Or they don't want any oak. I don't like oak. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or worse, when they say they don't like Chardonnay, and then what do they drink? Like a white Burgundy or something?
The same stuff they say they don't like.
Yeah. Yep. Like the lady. Who's the lady that we did the tasting for? Every year we do the same tasting, and every year at Christmas we do for those of you listening, Richard and I do a big wine tasting at a law firm in Tyson's Corner, and the same lady, she'll come up. And she'll try the wine, and every year Richard gets her. She doesn't like Chardonnay. And, you know, I'm always watching Richard from out of the corner of my eye, and he says the same thing for like 4 years in a row. It's a French wine. What is it? What is it? Like a? I think it's a white Burgundy you guys pick out every time, and it's all Chardonnay. So it's amazing.
Well, one of my most impressive wine tastings occurred here.
This man's drunk.
In which I was at a very influential person's house, and an individual came up to me and said, "What wines do you have?" And I said, "Well, I have two Chardonnays, one from Napa and one from Sonoma." And this wonderful lady said to me, "Now, are they the red or the white Chardonnay?" this was a very important event, and I just so gently said, "Well, today we are only featuring the white Chardonnays."
Oh, it's so diplomatic of you.
And she said, "Well, those are the ones I love."
Yeah.
And I said, "Fine." So I then poured her both of them.
How do you know she wasn't messing with you, though? Like,
you can tell.
Like, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you get this because, you know, you've been around a lot longer than I have in the wine business, but you will get the people that try to test your knowledge and stuff like that.
She was sincere.
Was she?
She knew that there was a red Chardonnay out there. I haven't found it.
Yeah.
But she was sincere. There's one floating around, sort of like UFOs. They're out there.
Yeah.
They exist. We just can't see them. They exist.
They exist. They're out there.
UFOs or red Chardonnay?
Both. UFOs or red Chardonnay.
Maybe.
They're both the same.
I think UFOs exist before Chardonnay. Or
they're unidentified. It's sort of maybe it's an unidentified, wine object.
Maybe that's what they're serving on the UFOs is the red Chardonnay.
Ooh. All I know is I didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, that's amazing.
She was very happy. She was a very large donor to the organization. It worked out very well.
How about you, Miriam? What happened today? Anything interesting in the shop? Anyone say something out their neck?
What, today?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. We did. We had a lot of things.
We had this woman that came in for 3 hours, and she stayed at the head of the table, and she pretty much told us about her whole cruise and knew nothing about wine, but certainly
I couldn't imagine.
On the table, but she was basically doing the tasting for everybody, and Richard was struggling with her next to us.
I never struggled.
That's cool too
because that's one of the things, much like a bartender, and for those of you listening that bartend or are in the restaurant business, a lot of times that's what you are. You're there to listen,
yeah,
and to, you know, be that support person, or to you know, hear their stories, their week, or any story. I mean, there's not one subject that goes untapped in the wine business. Yeah. Not one. I mean, they tell it all. I'm telling you, this is a story I may or may not have told you guys this before. When I first got in the wine business, I used to run this warehouse. It was like wine.com before wine.com was really big. It was a company called Geerlings and Wade. They're based out of Canton, Massachusetts. So back in those days, in order for people to ship wine, you couldn't do it like you can now, where you can ship out of one location. You had to have physical locations in every state. So you're talking mid-90s, I think it was. And so we had locations in various states. I ran their facility here in Virginia, and we were based out of, I think it was Chantilly. Anyway, I would have customers come by. We would ship out maybe, I don't know, on a slow day, 300 cases a day. And then we would have customers, they would come by and pick up wines and stuff like that. So I used to have a customer, he would come by, can't remember his name, but he would come by, he was like a doctor or something. He loved his wife so much that he would come in to the office with me and show me pictures of her, like, you know, just pictures of his wife. So I'm like, all right, man, it's an older guy. And they're showing him back in their heyday. And so one day he's like thumbing through, and the guy's thumbing through all these pictures, and it's like, you know, they're at the beach or whatever, and it's, oh yeah, this is us at the beach at our beach house, and we're chilling. And next thing you know, he flashes to another picture, and they're in the bedroom together.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's naked pictures.
Why
of his
you,
I have, to this day, I have no idea. And
but it, comfortably, he just showed them
like it was nothing. Oh, look how pretty. This is my wife. This is my wife. Right, so I just chalk it up. I'm like, all right, whatever, dude. Hit the bricks. Get your case. He's getting like, he picks up like, you know, I don't know, 5-10 cases. He comes by. He comes by like every week. Every week he does that. For years I had
pictures of his wife, and then
I think I had to look at his wife for like 3 years.
Oh my god. Have you met his wife?
No, never saw her. Never saw her once.
I see you naked.
Yeah. Yeah, all sorts of pictures, just really a weird, bizarre, just random. But you would meet a lot of, I mean, you would come across a lot of, at least I have, I've come across a lot of strange stuff.
Yeah.
A lot.
I think that's just part of retail, part of the wine business.
Anything goes.
Yeah.
And anything is said, especially after you get a couple drinks. Like a lot of people.
There's no boundaries anymore.
There's none.
It's like done.
Even if you're in a tux. Like I've done them at the Ritz. I've done them at
people,
the hotel.
Yeah, throw up on the floor in their tux.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
know. Nothing. No. And that's the funniest thing. No, they just keep going. They just want what they want, when they want it, and just more of it.
Yep.
Which is fine. I mean, that's what we're there to do. Mm-hmm. I've seen winemakers get, I get annoyed when this happens too. When someone comes up, and you're doing a wine event. I'm sure you've done them, Richard, when it's literally hundreds of people. It might be like 20 people. Something people at your table, and they hold the the glass in front of your face and shake
it because
they want you to pour it. Oh my god, that used to get on my nerves like you wouldn't believe. I've seen winemakers stop.
They don't even look at you; they just like turn the glass.
They're drunk. Drunk.
Yeah, like, this is not a bar. This
and they have diamonds on. They have fur coats. Yeah. They have tuxedos, and you think there would be some elegance there?
Yeah.
It's out the window.
Mm-hmm.
After that third drink. It's gone. And then at the end of the night, it's the funniest because they're falling and tripping. And yeah, they sound like Richard.
Correct. If I'm serving $10 bottles of wine and they're shaking and gyrating with their diamonds,
gyrating.
And then I really get scared.
Richard wants some gyration.
Yeah, he does.
However, if I'm serving, you know, $200
like,
bottles of wine and they're
he's
know,
managed,
doing their thing, that's fine.
He's managed to take over the microphone, and he's leaning all over Miriam, draped over her. Look at the body language.
Yeah,
it's there. Seriously?
The
Seriously?
Table.
Why don't you scoot over a little closer, Baron?
Get that close, man.
No, don't get that close to me because I might bite.
So, Richard, how's your time?
Vampire, being a vampire.
How's your time looking? You want to take a quick break and then move on to a couple other subjects? I've never done a commercial break before.
An intermission?
Never done one before. What? What?
What?
Wow.
Intermission.
How do you say intermission in France? French. Jesus.
In France, we say it like this. I have no idea, actually.
No? There's not a word for it? How do you say it in Arabic?
Hey, what's happening, everybody? This is your main nigga behind the motherfucking trigger, Willie Johnson, and I'm in front of the liquor store with all the bitches, thieves, and dope heads, and I got my man Henry and Woodrow Jones and the Johnson sisters, no relation, and they put a little something together to tell y'all what's really going on. Now y'all put this shit on.
The shit you're listening to is sponsored by MAD, Motherfuckers Against Drunk Driving.
Damn, this is some good shit, man. Where you get this shit from? Damn. Yo, now we take you back to the previous program.
And we're back. Man. I've never done a commercial break. Never had to do one before. But Richard was three sheets to the wind. My God. All soft-spoken.
Yogi.
What's up with him? He just drinks. I mean, if he does, like, I've done, just so you guys know, I've done private events with Richard, and he's the type that he'll give the customer a drink, and then he'll take two.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll do that all day.
Yeah, he drinks a lot.
Good night.
He drinks a lot, but he also knows his wine, so. I mean, he picks his bottle.
He likes to, you know, what he believes is charm the guests. He likes to, yeah, you ought to see him in action.
I was with him all day today.
He usually finds some old woman and pins her up in the beginning, I guess just for us, and then it's like he pins some dude up at the end. Even some dude is like.
Well, he likes to call people out on their wine disknowledge. You know what I mean? He likes to express
Yeah, he used to try to challenge me back when I owned a wine shop. He used to come to my wine shop, and he was a regular though. Every weekend, he was every weekend.
We were talking about your wine shop earlier, actually, before you showed up.
Yeah, he was really really hype. Just so you guys know, we were talking about when I came in when I was setting the podcast up. Richard is under the impression that I'm making a return into the wine business,
yeah.
And he's. Yeah, he's really excited. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The rumors, it's so quick.
Yeah, the wine business is a very small community, just so you guys know. So if you're one of those customers that gets on people's nerves and stuff like that, all the wine shops know about
you.
That's right. So be careful. But if you
eat too much cheese.
Yeah. Or if you make your rounds and you're going to each wine shop and eating cheese and drinking wine and only not buying, but buying like a wine opener, they all know. So, you know, you're on the radar. There's like a whole list.
Yeah,
so beware, buyer beware.
Yep.
But yeah, Richard, he's a character. He's very, very knowledgeable. Yeah. I enjoy doing events with him because. And because when I do get into a situation where someone does want to know the altitude or the soil composition, I'm like, yeah, hey, Richard's my resource because I could give a fuck. But, yeah.
He's also retired. He has the time for it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's a fun guy, yeah, despite what you guys heard. It's a little weird.
I wonder what people are going to think. We'll see.
He's Yeah, they're always good guys. That's what they say.
They're not all harmless.
So have you been doing tastings here? Do you taste with the with the sales reps when they come in?
Sometimes. That's on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I try to if I'm working. Sometimes they'll come on Thursdays when I'm working. But Victor's pretty open, and like he respects my palate, so we pretty much have similar tastes as well. But, yeah, I've been trying to taste some stuff and kind of bring stuff in. I feel like my opinion matters to a certain extent, but Victor's the buyer, so he's always going to be the one who's going to make the final decision.
Yeah.
So,
I think And imagine that, you guys. Imagine having a job where you can just wait for wait for people to come in.
Well, at my other job, they ask me all the time. They're like, "Oh, do you get a drink at work?" I'm like, "Well, it's kind of part of the job description." You know, I come in at 11 and I'll taste the wines that I'm tasting out later. I've got to know what I'm tasting out. So, yeah, before I have my coffee, sometimes I'll have wine.
I used to tell people all the time, they're like, "Oh, you drink? I only drink when I work."
Well, yeah, it is work.
Yeah, I only drink when I work. When I'm at home, I don't drink. Yeah. I made a big mistake. I remember when I first opened my wine shop, I made a colossal mistake. You will get reps that come in, sales reps that come in, and they'll have, you know, more than two or three. Yeah. I remember I would drink them, and I wouldn't spit. I would swallow.
You can't. Yeah.
Not a spitter. I swallow. That's not, probably shouldn't say that, right? It's kind of weird.
Well, I mean, probably people won't know what I think, but.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know, right? Jesus.
But no, it adds up.
I was hammered.
Like in terms of food tasting or chocolate tasting.
I was so hammered. I went through like 14 bottles of wine. All French, all Bordeaux's. I bought every one in like two cases, three cases of each. It took me a goddamn year to get rid of those wines. And they were great. Not to say anything bad about French wines or Bordeaux. They're some of my favorites. But sometimes you definitely don't want to anyone that does purchasing of any kind, you don't want to do under the influence. So, but, you know, it's definitely a job that it has a lot of perks. Sometimes I reminisce. You know, I can see why Richard, and you develop a following. So, like, Richard has always been in my corner. There's a lot of people in this community. I mean, I think I've talked to you, like, I think it was, what year was it, 2004, was it 2004? I can't remember, but whatever year it was, I was Entrepreneur of the Year, and when I was Entrepreneur of the Year at Tyson's Corner, I guess you can call this a city, the city of Vienna, the town of Vienna, they wanted me to sit on the parade float. So it was my son, Justin, and Justin was just a little boy, he was just like a little kid. He was a little boy. I think it was 03. I can't remember what year it was. Could have been 02. I don't know. But I all right, I agreed to it. Sit on a float. And they instructed me to wave like the
pageant.
Yeah, what the hell? So I got to sit up there wave. And they gave me the sash.
No, you did not wear a sash.
I have the sash.
What does it say on the sash?
Entrepreneur of the Year.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Do you still have it?
I still have it. I look at it. I have it as a reminder. Yeah, it's actually at my mom's house.
That's pretty awesome. It's kind of weird. That's like what women wear for their bachelorette parties and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wore it, and we were on there. But it was actually a really cool moment. They had like a newspaper article, and they wrote this really cool.
I think you sent me that article. It is a good article.
Did I? Why would I send you that article?
To show off.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I was trying to flex. Trying to show her I was...
family man you are.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
God damn. All that shit. Damn.
Long time ago.
Yeah, not much of a family man anymore. Son is fatherless, no business.
You're a good father.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah. He's vacationing in Cancun for spring break. Can you believe that shit? I haven't even heard from him, man. I'm like texting. You know what I mean? Hope.
He's busy on the beach.
Mexico's a bad place to be in right now.
Around Mexico.
You
know?
I've been. Let me tell you. Yeah. No, actually it was probably one of the most fun vacations I've ever been on. Yeah, he's having a good time. But yeah, it was a different time. Yeah, it took a lot of focus. It took me a lot of energy just to win that award. I remember I was lobbying and positioning. I was a member of the Vienna Tyson's. I was a member of a lot of different chambers. And if you're a small business owner, I think that a really good good way to get your business known. Not so much to get people to buy, because those bastards are cheap, let me tell you. But it's a great way to network. I worked with a lot of small businesses and banks in the area. I used to do a lot of wine tastings at banks. Yeah, a lot of banks kept me busy. No, we just drank wine. I do wine for their customer appreciation and stuff like that. And we would, yeah, I did a lot. I would banks. I did a lot.
Accounts?
Yeah, no, yeah, I don't know. I can't remember. I have a bad memory, but I used to do a lot of wine tastings in D.C. up and down K Street for a lot of banks. And yeah, it was bizarre. But the Chamber of Commerce definitely, I used to just attend the meetings and the functions and open houses and ribbon cutting ceremonies and all that stuff. And you would network. I would just network. I remember just all the time. It was one thing after the other. And they were, you know, very instrumental to any success that I had back then. I used to work with a guy named, he was the president of the Chamber of Commerce. His name was Francis Gary Powers III. I think it was the third. Well, or was it junior? I think his son might have been the third, because his son's name was Trey. And I used to say, oh, my brother's name is Trey. So his was Gary Powers Jr. And you know who Francis Gary Powers was. Well, Francis Gary Powers, his dad was, he got shot down like in right after or sometime around World War II, almost started World War III. Yep, the Soviets shot him down. So Francis Gary Powers, it's a big name. You should look him up. It's very, very interesting story. So his son, yeah, look that up. His son was Francis Gary Powers Jr., and he actually is the president now of the Cold War Museum down in Richmond somewhere. But, Francis Gary Powers, he was a good guy.
Junior?
I'm starting to use that podcasting voice again. I just noticed it. I don't like.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah. I just caught myself doing it, like enunciating and trying. I don't like talk like that for real. I really don't. Man. I want to talk like Rick Marrero.
This is a weird
yeah,
picture of this
you know.
Francis guy. He looks like he was in jail.
They kept him. No, they.
This is his jail here.
Let's see.
Look at his outfit.
Yeah, he's in the joint. He's got a jumpsuit like Naughty by Nature. He was Tretch before Tretch. He was like the white Tretch. He's got some sort of galoshes on, too.
Yeah.
Huh? He's going fishing or something, fly fishing.
Weird.
Oh, yeah. That's his jumpsuit.
That's an awful picture.
Yeah, this dude, he's the real deal. He was an American pilot, CIA U-2 spy plane that was shot down while flying a reconnaissance mission over the Soviet airspace in 1960. Yeah, this U-2, this incident right here almost started World War III. Yeah, and so I used to work really close with his son. Yeah, everything was an incident.
Yeah.
There's lots of incidents. So you best be careful or you'll end up in some galoshers.
No.
Is it galosher or
galosha?
Galosha.
I have no idea. You're talking to a foreign girl. I don't know
galosher. It's a galosha. What the hell is going on here?
Boots.
Yeah, not attractive.
No.
Neither are one-piece jumpsuits. I never got into that style. Yeah, it's a good one. Wow. It's
$120.
$30. Wow.
$130.
Plus tax.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I used to do quite a lot of events with the Chamber of Commerce, and that's how, I don't know, I think it was like my first year in business I went Entrepreneur of the Year. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I got a plaque and a little, a sash, wrote on the parade. My son was on my lap. It was a cool moment, I have to admit. He was little. He was, he was born in 01, so he was 2 or 3 years old or something like that. 3, 4, maybe. I don't know. It's all just a memory. No awards, no recognition these days. Yep, so, that was then. And, yeah, I think Victor, this wine shop won something once, too, because they had Victor drive the lead car. I think it was like a Corvette or something
really?
Like that. Yeah. It's like a couple few years ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He was like, they want me to drive. Should I do it? I was like, hell yeah. And it's a car. It was like a I think it was a Corvette or something like that. I don't know. I was like, should I do it? Victor and I have a really interesting story because Victor was one of my competitors. This store right here was one of my competitors. I was lost. Go figure. I was lost and I was like, I'd call him up and be like, hey man, what do you do when you do this? He was like a resource for me. And we were like, really? Oh yeah. And he would give me tips. More certain.
It's funny to me now because I work with him and I see how much advice you give him on some of the stuff in his shop and stuff.
Yeah. I got a lot of time on my hands now.
Oh, that's not what it is.
My business folded. I don't have a lot of time, actually. I don't. I ain't got time to bleed. I ain't got time to bleed.
I realize it.
You don't even know where that quote comes from, do you? You got to get on your movies, girl.
Man, I'm just starting House of Cards, by the way.
Predator. That's a good show.
It's really good.
Yeah. It's going to mess you up because you're going to want to watch one after the other, after the other, after the other.
Episode 8, maybe now. Chapter 8. It's great.
Kevin Spacey.
He's great. Hands down, he's one of my favorites.
I forgot.
Even the girl that's in it, she reminds me a lot of me. The one who's like the one who writes the articles and stuff and like who's hooking up with him. To, like,
really? She didn't remind me of you. No, yeah. No, I dig it.
It's resourceful.
Yeah, yeah.
Too.
Yeah, you're
very smart.
Yeah. Yeah, you're smart.
You know, I don't know if you think that.
No, yeah, I think so. You're pretty smart.
She wears hoodies a lot. It reminds me of me.
You wear hoodies?
I wear hoodies.
Really?
Really? So not aware of what's in your surroundings.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I try not to look at people.
I can tell.
Yeah. A lot of people take it personal, but it's not personal. It's not personal. I had to tell a girl that the other day. I told her it wasn't personal. She thought it was personal, but well, she has to use something of mine that was personal. It was like a communicating device or something like that at one of my jobs. And
what, like an
EasyPay? No, it was just like a, you know, it's mine. You know what I mean? I don't want to share it with anyone who's some germs or something like that. And
well,
so I was like, this is mine. And I got it. It's mine. You know.
There's nothing wrong with that.
This was like 6 or 7 months ago. She was like, remember that time? I was like, yeah. I was like, it wasn't personal. It's just how I'm wired. It's how I'm cut, you know?
That's okay.
Same thing without, you know, when I don't look at people or and stuff like you know, I'm my head somewhere else most of the time. So don't take it personal, yeah, Miriam. You got hoodies, you got hoodies. You know?
Hoodies.
Just don't try to eat my cereal or drink out of my wine glass or anything like that. Can't have it. I can't have it. I can't have it. You know? Get your own. Don't take it personal.
I wasn't taking it.
I think the only person that I share stuff like that with is my son. But even now, I'm really cautious because he's getting at that age. You know?
Where he could have what?
Well, he's having man germs. You know what I mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I can't risk it. You know what I mean? I can't risk it. You know, if he wants to drink, get your own. You know, what am I going to do? Huh? Is that bad? Jesus.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. He's on his own. He's
I
mean, I still do, you know.
I'm the same way, too, at my jobs. You know, like, I don't like to, you know, I don't know. When you see people in their habits, they're just not
they have habits.
The same. Yeah.
I have habits.
Everyone's got their habits, but if they're super different where you're like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're one of the things you don't share some.
Toothbrushes.
Yeah.
Example.
Yeah, you don't. They did that on House of Cards on one of the episodes. She's
yeah,
like, are you using my toothbrush? I'm like, jeez.
Like, yeah, what's wrong with that? She's like, ew.
No, I don't do that. I've had people offer me shit like that. I'm like, fuck no. I'll go out, man. Just go. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I'll gargle with some peroxide or something before I do that. Motherfucker. Get out of here. Hit the bricks. You know what I mean? I'll go without. Are you crazy? Do something. Just walk out. Talk out the side of your face, you know? It's crazy. Yeah, that was in the House of Cards, the episode. I was like, damn, dude is going for it.
I mean, he's with her now.
But Kevin Spacey,
I
totally forgot how cool how good he was. He's one of those guys that you forget about, I think.
No.
Really?
No.
I don't know how I forgot. I went the whole time I was watching Kevin.
I missed them, actually. I was wondering what he was up to.
Me too. I think he fumbled with Lex Luthor. I thought he could have been a better Lex Luthor in Superman, but that whole movie just kind of. I still enjoyed it because of Superman. I don't care. I like Superman. I don't care what it is. But yeah, I think he could have been more ruthless.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what Kevin Spacey has done. I mean, Kaiser Sose is enough for me.
American Beauty.
That was great. That's a good show.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Show?
It's the Vino, baby.
Yeah. No, but House of Cards definitely.
Why don't you go ahead and dance on the table?
No.
No one's here.
Nope.
Huh?
Nope.
See what happens.
Nope.
Why not? How do you spell Kevin Spacey?
Oh, my. Really?
Let's see what this character's done. House of Cards. He did something. He does a lot of bad stuff. Well, maybe not Casino Jack. Gorilla School, Father of Invention, Men Who Stare at Goats, Moon. He was in Moon. Oh, he was the voice. Yeah, so he does a lot of stuff that's not, it's, you know, subpar at best. You know, I mean, I'm sure the body of work is good and all that, and his performance was good, but he, yeah, I mean, in between all those, there's American Beauty. But then, like, right up here, he had, in the beginning, I mean, look, let me just read this off to you. Good God. I mean, I could go down further. I'm looking at IMDb right now. So if I just start off at, let's say if I start off at 95, and he did a lot of stuff way before 95. Like, he did Glenn Ross. Yeah, amazing film.
Yeah.
But let's see, in 95, he's just kicked it off with The Usual Suspects. Can't beat that. You can't beat it. You can watch that. It's like Goodfellas. You can watch that every time.
Anytime it's on, I'm going to watch it.
It's amazing. You can't go wrong with it. Then he did Outbreak, which I don't really remember his character in that.
That was okay. I saw him here.
But then, in 1995, he came at us at 7. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
7. Fincher.
Yeah.
Pitt.
Cards.
Morgan Freeman. All right, and then he did A Time to Kill, okay?
Still good. I saw that.
Still good.
I love that.
Still good.
Yeah.
Not as good as Seven or
yeah.
Usual Suspects,
no.
But it was still good.
Good.
You know, it was a good role.
For,
but then look, he follows that up. He did Midnight in the Garden of Evil. No, he follows that up with L.A. Confidential.
That was great.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah.
A lot of good people.
Still
that.
Good.
Yeah.
Then he did a couple other ones that were subpar. Then he did The Negotiator, and then blah. Then he did, you know, American Beauty. But, yeah, he's Kevin Spacey. You can't go wrong with.
He's good.
Yeah. And this one, he's
great
good.
For this political role.
It's a, it is a character that I'll go on record and say that, you know, his character can be one of those characters like a la Tony Soprano.
Yeah. When you described it as Sopranos in D.C.?
No, actually, I didn't.
D.C.?
I said it was Game of Thrones in D.C.
Did you?
I did say it. Yeah, I did.
I'm
going to get you the towel. You keep banging on this.
I'm sorry. I speak with my hands. I don't realize how much I do.
Oh, you do? You really? Your hands. Hmm. Let's explore that.
All right. Settle down.
It's the vino. So, yeah, Kevin Spacey. Yeah, you got to watch that. For those of you guys who, you know, if you haven't listened, I mean, watched House of Cards, it's on Netflix now. Get a Netflix account. $7
yeah.
a month. $8. It's, you know, it's.
I love the idea. Well,
Netflix has a few shows coming out. Well, there's a couple coming out. I don't know the name of them off the top of my head, but they've got a couple original programming shows in development and that are coming out. And I think there's another one on there, another one or two that's on there. I think Arrested Development has new.
Well, yeah, they're adding a new season, and it's just on Netflix. It's
yeah.
not going to be on primetime television or anything.
It's like a billion of those episodes, though. It's like, Jesus, I don't even know where to begin or end with that show, you know? Yeah, it's too much. Too many episodes. Too many episodes. It's too many episodes. It's a lot of episodes. Jeez. I don't know about that. Take it to the internet. Yeah, well, Lost is a different.
It's half-hour shows. It's not even, like, hour shows.
Come on. Lost.
All right. Yeah, you started me on Lost.
It's like the best show. Well, probably one of the
best show.
It's one of the best shows that's ever.
Wait, finished?
Yeah, they rushed it. They did.
Yeah.
They did rush it, but
by
you know,
far.
They knew that they needed to end it though.
Well, no, it was
Because if it would have went on.
Before they closed up, it was like, okay, we need to finish this. We need to wrap this up.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so the wine business. It looks like this store is next to Jam and Java. It looks like Jam and Java is jumping tonight.
Always.
Parking lot's full.
Always, every weekend.
It's a good venue.
Rock Rockmasters.
What the hell is that?
The wannabe Barney that comes in on Saturday mornings.
Really?
Yep.
That's where all the kids...
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep.
It's amazing.
I'm getting my coffee and a bunch of kids in there. And the parents are getting coffee and whiskey.
Yeah, those kids know how to turn a buck. Yeah, they're doing a good job over there. You know what I saw there? I saw Vincent Gallo.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What?
He has a rock group, some like, I don't even know what, if it's, I guess you can, I mean, it's music, but really bizarre music.
I was going to say what kind, it's not.
Really bizarre. I don't even know what you could call it. But Vincent Gallo, star of one of my favorite, that's right, star of Buffalo 66. And he... is one of those actors that he doesn't like to be bothered. Doesn't like to be bothered. I was like from here to where you are, right in front. I'd like right there. And he's in his own world. Let's see. I don't know if it says anything about his music. Nah, it doesn't. He's just a bizarre guy. If you haven't seen Buffalo 66, it's a really good independent film. One of my favorites. It's about this guy that, what does he do? He like bets on a Buffalo football game and loses like 50 G's. He's like down. Yeah, and he's like down and out and just like, he's. I guess his parents never paid him, didn't hug him enough and didn't love him enough. And
he's,
you know,
trying to impress them with his girlfriend.
It's... Well, you jump forward, because what he does is, what's really cool is he, well, it's not so much cool, but he you know, he laid it all on the line. He bet a lot of money. I think it was like 50 large or something like that. And Buffalo didn't win. Buffalo never wins, you know. They never win. They're not going to win. You don't bet. You don't bet 50 large or whatever it was.
Well, his mom is also obsessed with, like, you can see how she's a super, super fan of Buffalo.
Well, he lost the money. And the loan shark, or whoever the guy he went to, you know, he had to pay up. He didn't have the money. So the guy was like, all right, here's what we're going to do. And he was played by Mickey Rourke.
Yep.
Mickey Rourke's like, well, you know, basically since you owe me money, what you're going to do is you're going to take a fall for a crime. And if you don't take the fall for this crime, very bad things are going to happen to your family. Very bad and very evil things. That's what Mickey Rourke says. Awesome scene. Just a classic scene. Very bad and very evil things are going to happen to the excuse maker's family. It's a classic scene. Mickey Rourke never disappoints. I mean, that guy's been drugged through the mud back and forth and back and forth again. He delivers. I mean, he just has a very bit role in this movie, but I mean, it just brings it all together. So, anyway, the Buffalo 66, Vincent Gallo's character, he goes to the joint, comes out of the joint. I don't even think he told his parents that he went to the joint. He thinks...
No, I don't think he does.
Yeah, he thinks that his parents think that he was like on a business trip or something like that, right?
That, yeah.
But his parents know he was in the joint, know he's a, you know, world-class fuck-up. He's a loser in some way and know that he's lying. Doesn't know. I don't think they know he's in the joint, but... He was in the joint. So he comes out of the joint and he's like, he's got to find a girlfriend. He's got to do something. No, I don't even think he has to find a girlfriend. I think he makes that up because he has to take a piss. And he has to take a piss, but he can't take a piss because when he gets out of the joint, nothing is open. There's nothing open. What's he going to do? He's like running around. And it's a scene that everyone can relate to. Almost, I guess. I don't know if you have to take a piss when you have to take a piss and you can't take a piss.
That happens in DC all the time.
Yeah, everywhere you have to go. You got to. I have this thing where I swear to God, every time I go to the store, I got to take a. I have to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Every time. Every time I go shopping or somewhere, I got to use. Where am I going to find a bathroom? It's usually in the, on the other side somewhere. I got to look for the sign. Where's the damn sign at? I'm looking for the sign.
Yeah.
Got to take a piss. The worst is when you got to take a shit.
Oof.
You know what I mean? It's
like sick from some food or something.
That happens to me all the time. My son.
Yeah.
The fuck?
So
what's that? What is this?
Crohn's disease is that
Maybe that's what I have. Every time I go out to eat with my son, I swear to God, I got to take a shit. Every time. No, it's probably the shit that they eat, and his little young stomach can handle it. You go to Chipotle. He's like, Dad, every time we go to eat, go.
I got sick for 2 days from Chipotle.
Let me tell you, man. It's
2 days.
As soon as I eat, I hear that 60, you know, 60 minutes? You know, that little tick, 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 tick. I hear that, and the clock has begun. It doesn't take any time, and I got to use the bathroom. Basically, the money that I just gave them is gone. And that's how I think of it. I'm like, fuck, I got to shit this money out. Ain't that a bitch? Ain't that a bitch? And my son looks up to me, Dad, every time we go out, you got to take a shit. He doesn't say take a shit, but he's like, every time you say that. Every time. I'm like, man, do you realize what you're putting me through?
I went through the same thing with my dad. Wherever we went, whenever we went on vacation, fuck? It was, we need to be next to the bathroom.
Oh, I've already. Serious? No, I don't even.
Well, there's a hotel right there, Dad. Ooh, maybe 4-star hotel. Maybe I'm going to go. And he
yes.
goes. And that's right.
Yeah, you're
course.
Fresh. And I'm. Stress. Yeah. Because the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. I don't know.
I share bathrooms with my father and, you know, brothers and fathers.
I usually make Justin stand guard. I'm like, here, you wait right here. Stand guard. Okay. You know what I mean? He knows the deal. I eat a burger. I go to Chipotle. I go somewhere like that. It's all hell. So I know. I'll stick
to.
It's the worst. It's the worst, especially when you're on a time and the clock is ticking. And it's like a bomb getting ready to go off. Oh, my God. I mean, it's the worst thing in the world.
I mean, it's also when you're like, you really need to go to the bathroom and you're driving and you're like about to get.
Oh, that's the worst.
Go, like, you know
that's
you the
worst.
To the bathroom, so you know you need to go.
I keep a towel.
Like,
I keep a towel. I keep a towel in my truck.
Just in case, what is the towel
well,
gonna do
I keep a, I keep towels in a truck for a couple reasons. All right, because sometimes if I'm drunk and I'm hungover and I'm, you know, I'm not drunk when I'm driving, but if sometimes you're hungover, you get your stomach gets to bubbling and you're just like, oh, there's been times where I've had to puke in that towel. So, I mean, it happens, you know, what do you
inside a towel.
You cup it, you make a cup on. Well, no, the towel isn't for puking, but the towel's there for whatever you need it. But in case you know where you got to grab it, you got to, and if you shit, I just.
You're in your car where you need a towel to.
No,
like,
I've never done that, but. I'm just saying, if it happens and you can't make it, you know, you're going to have to. What are you going
to
do?
Go to the mall. Go anywhere.
If you're on 66, if you're on 66 and it's bumper to bumper and you can't make.
You're going to shit in a towel.
I don't know. Well, let me tell you this. The other day, listen.
You're sitting in your car.
Listen, this is a true. This is a true fucking story. I was, every time I go to my storage unit. Every time, it's just like the store. Every time I go to the storage unit, I swear to God, this is true. I have to use the bathroom. Every time. And it's not just, I don't know. It could be. Yeah. It could be a trigger. All my possessions are in storage or whatever. Maybe it is. But the past two times I've had to take a dump, it's the worst. Well, I leave really fast. If it, like sometimes it can be a false alarm and you feel the pressure. You know, it's like, all right, it's no big deal. It's what are you gonna do? It is what it is. It's a false. So I'm sitting there and I'm like moving boxes or I'm trying to dig something out, a suit jacket or something. I need something, some piece of equipment, or I just go by and look at my poster collection, whatever. So if it happens, I'm like, oh my God, what's that? Hey, time. I can make it. And then I'm like, all right, it's cool. It's a false alarm. Or if it's an alarm, maybe I can get out of there. One time I got in there, I swear to God. Time wasn't on my side, and I could feel it, and I felt a little movement, and I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? Because there's no way I'm going to make it down to the car in time and make it back to a bathroom. There's no way I'm going to do it. So I started looking for something, a barrel, something.
A barrel?
I found a hat, and I was like, I'm going to shit in this hat.
Oh.
I'm going to shit in this hat, but what am I going to use for toilet paper? So I saw one of my shirts, and I was going to be like, I'm going to use this shirt. Yep. So I was going to shit in the hat. But it didn't come to that, thank God. Yeah, it's fucked up. It's pretty nasty, huh? Yeah. No, you throw it. You burn it. No, you dig a hole or something. Throw it. Yeah, you don't keep stuff like that. Yeah, no, it's fouled. Yeah, you don't. Yeah. No, you don't keep stuff like that. This isn't.
You have no choice when it's just sand.
Yeah, it's a bad deal. I couldn't imagine if they would have been like, you know, it's like being like in the movie when the nuke is getting ready to go off and there's seconds to go and it's like, bam, 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 and red. Yeah, the panic, the panic. And I'm like searching for some, my God, what, where, how, I can make it. What if it does, how am I going to wipe my, and you're just going through all these scenarios. And just like, how? It's a big concern. It's a big concern. It's a big concern.
Apparently.
Yeah, I got to think about these things when I go out. It's fucked up. It's fucked up, yeah. I might have a disease. What's it called? I got to look this up.
Crohn's.
Crohn's. That sounds rough.
It's a
digestive.
It's a lifelong issue. It's not something.
Mine hasn't been lifelong. It's just, you know, I've just been eating like shit.
That's different.
That's all.
Just your habits.
If I eat chicken, I'm good.
Red meat,
it punishes me, so I gotta.
Organic chili, like some turkey chili.
Yeah.
But yeah, red meats are tough. Lamb and stuff.
It's rough. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I don't know if we want to talk about that anymore.
No.
There you go, people. That's American Riddle bringing it at you. You know what I mean?
Style.
You guys have learned a lot. You talked to Richard. Talked to Miriam. Richard was drunk. Miriam was, Richard was on her like a cheap suit. I'm going to have to videotape this this show one time and post it for people. Yeah. I tell you, a lot of the men, they're on you. And then you had Richard talking about, God knows what he was mumbling about. Miriam in her six or seven languages.
I don't know why everyone remembers seven when I
speak
five.
Five? Wow, it's gone up. Hmm. Amazing.
Yeah.
And then what else did we talk about? A little Kevin Spacey for you.
Love him.
Yeah. You know it. And then you learned about, what is that, my IBS and Crohn's and all that good shit. So that's...
Sorry about that.
It is what it is. So we will be talking at you next time. I've got a couple really good interviews coming up with Tony Sinius Weiss from, he's from the wine business too. Does the Ren Fair. I got Victor Mendez coming on soon. Owner of the Vienna Vintner. I got a couple people from the Washington West Film Festival that's going to be on here. I think. And then I got Antoinette from the Cork and Fork. Yeah, Antoinette, nice little French girl. She's gonna. That's gonna be a hell of a podcast. So we're gonna start branching out, making. I got some pull. With a couple people that may be local celebrities, but I'm going to make characters out of,
everybody.
Yeah. I think I know enough interesting people to keep this thing going, and we can have some fun and enjoy some vino and talk some shit and enjoy everyone's company. So keep listening. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Sit. Domino, motherfucker.